Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, on Pew Bible page 696. Let us listen to God's word. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many laying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of John. John chapter 11, verses 28 through 45, on Pew Bible page 870. Children of God, let us listen to God's word. When she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you, for you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing there, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your word leads us and guides us and keeps us. It shows us our path to be your people in this world. It guides our hearts and opens our minds to all the ways that you are active and present in our world. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds to your word so that we might be led by it and guided to serve you in this world. Bless this meditation and this time of consideration. In your name we pray. Amen. We begin with the valley of dried bones. We begin with a friend in a tomb. On the one hand, we have Lazarus, a man who we're kind of familiar with, Mary and Martha's brother, who's taken ill and has died. And on the other hand, we have a prophet who in a vision is picked up and taken by God to a valley filled with dried bones. Now, when you ask about why dried bones might be emphasized, part of that is to speak to the absolute lack of life left in them. When you come across a bone, there's this element to which, as long as flesh of some sort is still there, it's more recent. There's still that presence of mind to say, well, it hasn't been that long. These bones have sat long enough to have nothing on them. Nothing at all. There's no life in this valley outside of small animals and microscopic organisms. There's no hope with Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. His sister even alludes to the fact that he started to decompose a little bit. The stench of my brother. There is this lack of hope in both these moments. And yet, even though these moments are presented with a lack of hope, we know that hope is still there. Hope comes to us in many ways in life. Right now, we're in the middle of March Madness, and there's always hope that there's a Cinderella that is going to win it all. If you look across the board, there's not a single 1 or 2 seed left. Possibly not even a 3 seed will make it into the finals. It's kind of cool. When you think of hope, you think of NC State and Jim Valvano against Houston and Guy V. Lewis. Maybe you think of women's basketball with Mississippi State toppling the Titan that was UConn after 111 straight wins. There's the hope that we have outside. You look and the grass is green, the buds are coming, the crocuses and all of our beautiful tulips and daffodils are starting to pop up. There's hope all around in this season. And yet, in the valley of dried bones, and in the case of Lazarus, there is a lack of hope. 4 days might seem an oddity when you think about it. Why four? Well, the normal funeral process would have been a full week. And it's separate from our own funeral process where it takes calling up mom and dad and saying, okay, we've got to go to this, that, or the other location. We've got to wait until everybody's present. Sometimes in a pandemic, maybe 6 months later, you're having the funeral. It's a process that's different from Israel. There's no embalming science involved. Just wrap and place spices on the body and place it in a cave. It's not necessarily this great peace. We've seen it described many times as Christ prepares to go to the cross. Perhaps we know the phrase, saved by the bell, which supposedly idiomatically relates to someone being buried and having a bell affixed to them and somebody sleeping in the cemetery to listen for that bell. We think of the mistakes of burying somebody who is near death or very ill too soon. But after 4 days, there's no question. After he's started to decompose, there's no wondering and thinking that maybe Jesus didn't really raise Lazarus. There's no question that Lazarus is dead. When we see Ezekiel tell of his vision, we see him standing in a valley that's a hopeless place, filled with dry bones. You can imagine the scrub and the wilderness around him, sheer cliffs on both sides, and piles of dry bones all throughout. It's such a desolate image, isn't it? Can you think of a better image of lifelessness than that? A better time for God to emphasize power over hope and life than that? I think what makes the interaction in these so powerful is the responses both of Ezekiel and Martha. When Martha speaks with Jesus, there's this glimmer of hope within her, this tiny little seed of hope. When they first speak, Jesus says, do you have faith? You'll be with him again. And she's like, yes, I know, at the resurrection, I'll see him again. Missing Jesus' point. There's this hope that she's clinging to. But Mary, her sister, and you'll remember the story of one cooking and cleaning and one sitting at his feet. Mary is sitting, comes and almost rebukes Jesus. If you had been here sooner, you never would have died, Jesus. There's this moment of faith and hope playing out before them. Ezekiel is a little more savvy with his lack of hope. When God asks him about the dry bones, his response is very, very astute. Lord, you know. Yeah, God, of course you know the answer to that. Don't ask me again. You know, like the kid who knows they did something they weren't supposed to do but isn't going to give up the game, and so they give short yes and no answers all along until they figure out what they're in trouble for this time and what you found out they did. It's very much a case of Ezekiel knows that this is not a normal question and not a normal moment. As if the dry bones didn't already start that. But then all of a sudden, he's given a task. And you can imagine that moment where he stands before this hopeless place and prophesies to it. And yet, in that moment where hope literally comes alive, what happens? He Ezekiel's almost startled by the moment. But then he's not done yet, because after there is flesh on the bones, there's people together, there's still the missing breath. So again, he's called on to prophesy to the hopeless bones and breathe life into them. Brothers and sisters, we are people of hope, aren't we? Day by day, day to day, we live our lives in hope. It doesn't mean we don't encounter situations in our lives which are difficult or seem to be, quote unquote, hopeless. Even in those moments, we still have hope. Hope is something that logic just can't explain. Science can't quantify it or measure. Hope really just is. It is there, and in many ways, it's unexplainable in its strength and presence. If we stay with God's image that he shows forth to Ezekiel, it's a pretty hopeless situation. And as we see the greater image play out and figure out this represents this, Israel and Judah have been scattered in punishment. The line of kings of Israel and Judah has been broken. It's been cut. The temple's destroyed. The people are now foreigners in a land that is not of their choosing and not their own. They lived like children who constantly tested the grace of their parents. The continual violation of the covenant has left them outside of the promised land. And yet, while they feel like dry bones, with their hope hanging by a literal thread, God strengthens that thread. God sends Ezekiel to restate that covenant promise, to reestablish and reaffirm that God will give life back to them, that God will restore them. When we see Lazarus, we see Christ coming to the tomb and with this painful nonchalance to him. There's this confident attitude underneath it all. He steps up. We know how close he was to Lazarus, to Mary and Martha. We know that when he was ill, Jesus was not called on to come, but stated, "Lazarus is sick." Now, whether or not that was one of those situations where you're asking for something without asking for something, or whether or not you are simply stating, this man who you love, this man who you care about, our family is in this situation. We don't know. We do know that Jesus is not necessarily rushed and pressed for time. He arrives just as the embers of hope are dying out. And yet in that moment, what does he do? The only hope for Mary and Martha is the hope of the eventual resurrection, when they will see their brother again. And yet into that moment, into that glimmer of hope, Jesus raises him from the dead. What we see here play out, these two stories, these two scriptures, is the condition of the faithful regarding hope. It's a continual and perpetual cycle for us to live in hope, to live as people of hope. Not just hope, as Martha would have said, in the hope of entering the kingdom eventually, but the hope in the here and the now, that God is with us, working around us, standing beside us. to think of a world which doesn't have hope is unthinkable. A world without hope, a world without the promise, not just of the glory of God, but of the guiding hand and presence of God, is beyond dark. But we don't live in such a world, because thanks be to God for the hope and promises that God gives. Hope is not just of the eternal rest. It is of the promises and subsistence day to day, day in and day out that God gives. That isn't to say there aren't going to be days where we feel like that valley of dry bones, where the stresses and strains of the world, where the pressures of what is happening in our world doesn't weigh us down. But the reality is that hope is in those moments. Hope needs to exist in those moments. In those moments that are so dark, when all around us seems hopeless, it's those moments that hope is the strongest. The reality for us is that even though we have moments where we feel without hope, to remember and trust in God's promises, the promises of hope, of life springing eternal, the promises that even though the last embers are smoldering and threatening to go out, God will be there with twigs, dried moss, something to rekindle that fire. Hope, though, isn't just something for us to hold on to and cling to. It is something for us to share. Hope is something that we all need to hold on to. We all need to tell of and tell each other about. To be a part of the body of Christ is to be a nurturer of hope, not just in ourselves, but in the people around us. In many ways, we can nurture hope in others, to encourage it, to pull it out, to toss maybe a twig onto those embers. We cannot tell God that someone else will nourish and nurture hope. We cannot leave it only to our Lord, because He has called us to help nurture the hope of those in our world. Children of God, children of hope, may we live into our mission of hope in a world which needs to hear of it, a world that strains listen to the words of hope. Children of God, children of hope, may we go forth to teach, to preach, and to rekindle hope in this world of ours.